At the Horses, Joe Kelly here with his dad, Bill Kelly, co-host of the Win at the Horses podcast. You can go to our website, winatthehorses.com, to find out all sorts of horse racing information, suggested picks and plays. And welcome, Dad. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Wish everybody a happy 4th of July.
That's
always
right.
Always a great holiday.
And you canceled your trip to DC for the March just to do the podcast.
I missed it. Yeah, I lost one of my shoes and I couldn't walk.
So hey, happy 4th to everybody, and lots of action all around the states, and we're going to touch on international racing in Hong Kong and some topics in horse racing in general. But Belmont about to pack up equipment and head up to Saratoga, but they've got a Stars and Stripes weekend Friday and Saturday with some great stake races. And we were just talking off air about Friday's two stakes. And why don't we get into the River Memories last year, won by Homeland Security, who's back in the field again. And how do you see things progressing in this River Memory stake? Mile and a half on the turf.
Yeah, I mean, they don't run many of them that long on the turf at Belmont. So it's, you really don't get a whole lot of feel, other than that most turf races favor horses that are going to, you know, have a good turn of foot in the stretch. But in the longer mile, I think the horse that you got to keep in mind is the 10, who should be out on the lead by himself. And when they, you know, Scottish Jig. And I mean, when you look, I mean, he's nothing special on the paper, other than the fact he's got I-Rod and Bill Mott as his trainer. And he certainly hasn't run a stakes race, you know, in the United States. He's won overseas. Mm-hmm. But I would say you got to keep him safe. So, I mean, and, you know, he's won 50% of his races.
So, yeah.
And he certainly is a distance horse. So, the other horses that, to me, that you should think about is the 9, who is coming in for Michael Dickinson, who's always a pirate from the Mid-Atlantic.
The creator of the Tapita service, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but he's the one that invented it, really. But this horse is, you know, shown he can get the distance. He's certainly, has the wherewithal and the speed and the stretch to be a factor. So he's got to be kept safe. And I think the early morning line on him is 15-1. So, you match him up with the 10 and you got, you're not too bad.
Right.
You have the horses that you have to take into account is Chad Brown's horse, Fool's Gold, number 2, with Javier Castellano on. He's not number 1 in the barn, but he's a backer. You got to keep him in mind. And then I think the other horse that should be considered is the 5, Homeland Security. Now, right. he won last year, right?
Yeah, he was the winner last year, and I jotted down as the morning line 10-1, Aragona put it. So definitely worth a shot.
And but he's really not facing. Well, last year, I'm looking at the race he ran in October. But he ran
the same race, the River Memories, back on July 8th last year.
Oh yeah, I've seen them. But I mean, he needs to pick it up a little bit in the speed to be competitive with the others that we mentioned. But again, you got to keep him in mind.
I'm
How
looking, I
did
don't
what
know.
did you think?
Well, I jotted down the 5, 8, 9, and 10, kind of along the lines as you. I'm looking back actually of that River Memories. He was only carrying 115 pounds there, but I don't know if that really makes a difference now that he's carrying more.
You are 123. The problem here in the States is the weight is really not too much of a factor because and particularly on to me the weight is far more a detriment on in sprints where you have to really speed up in the stretch, really speed up effort. So the weight does make a lot of difference in sprints. But in a race like this, it's more galloping and being able to. I mean, you have to pick it up, but you don't have the weight is not a reason for lack of affecting the speed.
So looking at it overall, we're looking at Chad Brown's number two, the reigning champ, number five, Homeland Security, the 8, 9, and 10, the nine, possibly your long shot bomber in the whole mix, right?
Right, that's the way I looked at it. And the and there's reasons to believe that a price could show up here, I
Yeah.
mean, they're pretty even.
Pretty nice full field, kind of rare these days over in at Belmont, a lot of the tracks. But and we move on to another small field, race eight,
Yeah,
which
this
is
is.
the Victory Ride and 150,000 stake. Why do you think there are so little entries in purses like this that pretty good money and people just sit them out?
Joe, it's a good question. I don't have an answer for you. I mean, the to me, I think there's too much emphasis put on trainers' win percent and things like that, and getting owners to give them horses, etc. So no one likes to. I mean, no one likes to lose, so they don't even take a chance in entering. Even though the money's decent.
Right.
But a lot, in this case, I think that particularly with the three-year-olds and Saratoga on the horizon, that many horses are leaning towards an effort up there, So, but I mean, in this case, I think we. I mean, the favorite, Sue's Fortune, is certainly a legitimate favorite, and the horse that I would give some sort of puncher's chance would be the three to come from off the pace, and it would be a good exact a box 5-3 in my mind.
Right. That's Proving Appeal, the number three. And that is the suggested plays for the day on Friday tomorrow at Belmont Park. Should be some nice weather. And Saturday looms as a big day for stakes races. We've got five graded stake races. And you're listening to Win at the Horses, Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly. And thanks for tuning in and listening at winatthehorses.com. So some big days that they pack in the stakes races on the a lot of them on these major days like a Saturday, and
Yeah,
this is no
yeah.
different. So let's start with the Dwyer, which is a one turn mile, 3-year-old graded stakes three. How do you see it?
Let me just pull it up here, Joe. This is this is one that what did I do there?
Well, I think the big question in here, because I may go with this horse, Mijos, which is coming back from since February.
Mm.
Jimmy Jerkins says been working great, but he was a little concerned if it was going to be ready. But
yeah, he's run three bullets the last three times he's worked. Right. So he's obviously working. He's won off the bench before, you know, not as long as this one, but he was off the bench. So when he broke his maiden, yeah, certainly a factor. The favorite code of honor, you know, is he running?
I haven't heard word if he's scratched or not.
I thought I saw something where he was going to be put away for a while. I had a minor hiccup there in his leg or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But he's a horse that got to keep, you know, in mind. He ran a decent race in the Kentucky Derby, but he's cutting back to a mile and, he did win at Saratoga at 6 furlongs, off the bench.
And, as far as 3 hours ago, Code of Honor, according to Blood Horse, says he's ready. I mean, no mention of an injury.
Good. Okay. What was the other horse? There was another horse. I guess the one declared winner there was put on the bench.
Okay.
So another one of Mott's horses, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Sideline, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at this race, it looks like there's, you know, no speed burners in here, but there should be some little pressure on the front end. The horse you mentioned should be sitting right off of it and should be good, you know. Got Jose Ortiz up, which, you know, is always a plus. In situations like this, I always like to put always an exacta of the Ortiz brothers in, so the 1-5 exacta right. box is probably a decent thing, you know. Five coming from deep out, so
right.
And you gotta also give Code of Honor. He's shown that he's kind of one pace, but his pace is very strong. So
and Shug has been known to have horses that have been kind of out of the limelight after doing well and bringing them back to some big victories. Yeah,
the one thing I remember about this horse was that he was a little erratic in the stretch.
Especially in the Florida Derby.
And he had the pace to go at there. I mean, he could have. Well, no, that's the Florida Derby was the one where it was paceless.
Right. But, security. Yeah.
Yeah. He did win the Fountain of Youth, and beating Vekoma and Berman War. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's a class horse. You got to keep him in mind. So basically a 1-3-5 exacta is probably a box would be a pretty good play.
All right. That's according to Bill Kelly, co-host of Win at the Horses here. Joe Kelly here. And we're going through the Stars and Stripes Bonanza on Saturday at Belmont Park. And move along to a race which is going to bring up more questions about newspaper of record. Two second place finishes since coming off the bench. Do you think this was the race being pointed to, or you think may not have gas
no,
left?
I think they had, I think he's pointing to the Breeders' Cup later on, but. He's been beaten by a couple of decent horses, but and he's not disgraced himself, you know. But you know, he, and when you look at his overall pace numbers, etc., he's there. I mean, you know, he's running, he's improving. His last time out was, you know, his second best figure. You know, he has shown improvement. He hasn't certainly shown any regression.
Right.
But the horse that beat him last time is also in this race.
Yeah, his stable mate here in the Belmont Oaks, number 9, Cambier Park.
Yeah. So again, it looks like an Ortiz.
There you go. Taylor made for you. May not pay a lot, but still, it's been coming. These guys have been just dominating, the two brothers back and forth.
Yeah. And I mean, if you really want to throw one in, you got the 5, who's also from the same barn. It's got Castellano on it. I mean, if you wanted, if you thought that maybe, you know, this newspaper record would finish third this time instead of second, and, you know, you could maybe put the 5 in between the two of them. Might be a decent play. I don't see a whole lot of other possibilities there. It looks like, to me, unless you saw something, what did you see?
No, pretty much the same. I mean, I wrote down Cambier Park, but I didn't have anything really standing out to, you know, be big balloons.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, the only thing there is that Cambier Park is going to be on the outside, which is definitely not the preferred place. But he's got the speed to stay close and should get a decent run. Jose always puts the horses in a proper place, and he won at the Belmont. So I mean, you know, what's not to like?
Yeah, it's tough to poke holes. Up and coming horse, yeah. 3-year-old fillies in the Belmont Oaks.
It's interesting that Brown in these races always seems to put multiple horses in this case he's got 3, and another race later on he's got 4, I think.
Right.
Is it the fact that there's not enough long distance races for his barn, and therefore he has to run them all against himself? Or
that people are always joke it's the Chad Brown's stakes, you know. But yeah,
the interesting thing about him is that he unlike you know, on the West Coast, Baffert is always, you know, the saying is always bet the longest price of Baffert's horse to right. win. You know? But Brown doesn't seem to be that way,
right? And he's shown actually in Belmont for all the wins and the low prices. For a while, he was showing a overall. Profit on return of investment at this spring summer meet at Belmont.
So. Well, that means that maybe some of his long price horses do come in. So
yeah, so look out for Chad Brown, and hopefully number 5 Cafe Americano somewhere in the upper 2.
Right.
So we're going to move along right now at Win at the Horses, the podcast. You can go to our website, winatthehorses.com, for daily suggested plays. Bill Kelly working really hard on that, and we appreciate that. Race 8, which is newly named the John Neyrud Stakes, Grade 2. It's a 7 furlong for 3-year-olds and up. Lots of solid horses in here, and you know, the pace looks to favor horses on the lead. I don't know if you've seen it differently.
No, I haven't actually. The one thing about the 7 furlong is looking for horses that two areas cut back.
Uh-huh.
Cutbacks from a mile and a 16th are always a good indication, and horses that have been successful, because the 7 furlong is a very unique distance.
Right.
I mean, you're really sprinting the entire way, and the distance kind of, you know, limits the amount of horses that are possible to do that business, you know, to that distance. But the looking at it, and it's also a distance, just looking at the profile since April, there have been 24 races. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, only 6 favorites have won. So it's not necessarily a favorite race. It does look like, you know, like horses that are on, you know, that not necessarily deep closers, but, you know, off the pace, mid-pack and that, and have a little kick to them, are also very successful. So, and, you know, so you got to be, I mean, you need to be somewhat within 3 lengths at the top of the stretch. So that's the profile.
I've got one I want to run by. I jotted down number 3 Warriors Club, trained by Dwayne Lucas, who probably was around the most around John Neighborhood because he goes way, way back. I'm looking at some of the races which may fit and has been working really good. I don't know if you see that as a long shot or probably out of his range.
No, it's certainly not out of his range. I mean, he has propensity at this distance to finish second. I mean, half the time he finished second. So underneath, he's certainly a definite play. Mm-hmm. Rosario, re-rides the horse because he ran in Churchill his last time out. He looks like he's always, you know, come off the bench okay. I would say that I think you may have something there. I would say he's more of a place horse than a win horse.
Right, right.
But you're looking at horses here. I had noted the 4, 6, and 8.
Okay.
And
I had the 6 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason I had, you know, put them down is that they're all successful at the distance. They're all successful at Belmont. And those were the notes I had, although this is a very even race. I mean, you know, the horse that is probably, I mean, the horse that's going to be favored is Promises Fulfilled, which is, I think, Roman's horse, right?
Right. You know, yeah. Number 9, Romans.
And he won the, did he win the, no, he came in 4th, but didn't, I'm looking at, he won the Amsterdam. He won a couple of times up in Saratoga.
Yeah. Yeah. Won the Alan Jerkins race 7 furlongs. Yeah.
So I mean he's certainly a qualified horse, and is a legitimate favorite. So you got to keep him somewhat safe.
Right.
The other horses, as I said, are more horses that have been, you know, successful at. You look at Pat on the Back. He's run 10 times at Belmont. He's finished 50% win, and he has always finished in the money. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Yeah, right.
The 6 is, he's run 6 times at Belmont and won 3 of them and finished 3rd 2 times, you know. He's finished in the money 5 out of 6.
Joey Martinez has done well on long price horses, which he usually gets. But
that's what happens, particularly when you're a race like this, when you're up against the Ortiz brothers and Rosario and Castellano. I mean, you get some big heavy hitters in there. Mm-hmm. So That's why I think the leader in the clubhouse right now is Sias, right? Isn't he the?
Yeah, yeah. Or Lescano was up there. Oh, I don't know if he.
Let's see. Well, either one. But you have to remember that the Ortiz brothers were in Florida for a long, long period of time, and they haven't ridden every meet at, or every card at, and neither has Castellano, you know.
Right.
So, but this is a good race. I mean, you know, you're looking at horses that have a propensity to do well. So it's well balanced. looks like you know, good trainers and good jockeys, you know. The other horse that is going to be taking money and with a good reason is the 7 Do Share. He's run well, but not overly well at Belmont, you know. So, but he's definitely a horse you got to keep in mind.
So we are going to move along right here on Saturday's Big Stakes Day, the Stars and Stripes weekend, the 3-year-old Belmont Derby, which is going to be run on the inner turf, 1.25 miles. It's race number 9. And it's packed. We've got 15 entries, one also eligible. So should be some nice full fields and some horses which are not necessarily run on the turf all the time. We've got Plu K Parfait, who has run on the turf, but way, way back.
Yeah.
So how do you see this race? Pretty exciting race as well, right?
Very exciting. And you know, but again, it comes down to our friend Chad Brown's got 4 horses in this race. Right?
Oh, that's the race you were talking about, right?
Right. I mean, two of them and the 2 best ones of his are parked on the outside. So you know, the 12 and 13 and 14, they're all on the outside. So in my mind, the horse to keep in mind is the 2. And he, you know, when you look at the figures, he's coming in from Monmouth, won his last race, but you know, he still needs to pick it up to be successful in this. But the inside part of this course going this distance could be a factor, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So I mean, of those horses, I mean, 12 and 13 are basically the 2 best horses, in my mind, on turf, would be the 2 best horses in the race. The other interesting horse in here is our dear friend from Japan, Master Fencer.
Right.
Has run decently here, okay? Certainly has a kick, but he's bred for the turf, but looking at his 2 turf races, I mean, one was decent. He finished 2nd in his maiden race, not too far off. And his other effort, he finished 4th, but it was, you know, only 3 lengths off. So, I mean, he certainly can run on the turf. Apparently, he's doing okay. They bring in his Japanese jockey to ride him, so they must have some hope for the horse. And he certainly got a kick. So, I mean, he fits the profile of, I'd keep him safe, certainly 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other? There was another horse that your boy, Lescano. He's on the 6. And I think he's got a shot at, you know, certainly finishing 3rd. You know, at a price, he's 12-1. So I don't have much hope for the 5. I just don't. You know, I saw him run in the Dubai race, and he did come a long way. But, you know, running on that sand track certainly doesn't, you know, do anything for me in the when it comes to turf, you know. I mean, he's bred okay for it, but he's I would be that would be one of the horses I threw out.
So that is the take from Bill Kelly on the three-year-olds running in the Belmont Derby, a grade one stake, a mile and a quarter. And the last stake on Saturday, which is the Suburban, which will be race number 10, a mile and a quarter. And it's a dynamite field, some of the old favorites like Catholic Boy and actually Pavel, which I don't think is still there. Pavel, my lone win was the Stephen Foster with Pavel, so hasn't won a race since. But
so you owe him, huh? And you got Lone Sailor in there who always seems to pop up something.
Yeah, I wrote down Lone Sailor too. So Tommy Amos. Yeah. So how do you see this race going?
Again, I had the number seven as a potential long shot. Coming, it's making his third start off the bench, which I always liked. He hasn't proved himself in a stakes race, so you're taking some on faith here. But you know, with Pletcher wouldn't have him in the race if he didn't think he was capable of doing it. I would say he's got a shot. Catholic Boy is an interesting horse because, to my mind, he's a better turf horse than he is a dirt horse, but he always seems to do well.
Right.
And then, so again, you can't walk away from this. Did you see anybody else? I mean, yeah, the Lone Sailor.
Yeah, Lone Sailor. Rocketry as well. I jotted down number eight. Number three.
Yeah. Look, I mean, they're both. I mean, Lone Sailor comes from the clouds. I mean, you're going to need your binoculars.
Right.
In the beginning of the race to see where he is. There's certain, you know, there should be enough pace in this race to set things up, but I don't think it's a deep closer race. You know, I think it's a, you know, the horses like Catholic Boy and Wooderson is a kind of a horse that, you know, does well in a race of this length. I mean, he's kind of one speed and keeps grinding it out. Rocketry is won't be in the very, very back, but he's got some appeal.
Key upset horse there would be number seven, Wooderson, up and coming with third start off the layoff, Todd Fletcher.
I mean, you know, to me, it won his last two races. So, I mean, he's not without some credentials, you know. And his pace figures look okay. I would say he's finished in the money five out of seven times. So I would think he's got a shot at a price. But so the Catholic Boy is going to be the odds-on favorite.
Right. So that's our take of Friday and Saturday stake races, Stars and Stripes weekend, wrapping it up. There is an additional racing day Sunday. The vans will be ready to move up the tack to Saratoga, which will be previewing next week, Saratoga in its entirety and all the big meet up there, opening a week early. So
he's opening a week in front of Del Mar. Last year was the reverse, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
It's always a tough meet. I mean, you know, you got horses coming from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's in the first couple of weeks, I think you got, you know, horses that have shown a propensity to run well there are good bets, you know.
Right.
After the meet gets going, it doesn't really make any difference. But early in the meet, I think horses that have shown a, you know, horse for course type of thing should be bet.
And some of the trainers who have not had good Belmont meets, for example, George Weaver, Steve Asmussen, they just move 3 hours up the North Way, and they just find that winning race methods pretty easily.
Well, I think there's some reason for that. I think that horses that do well at Belmont don't necessarily do well at Saratoga. The tracks are totally different. You know, Belmont's such a big track, one turn, most of the races, etc. A horse that's particularly done well at Belmont doesn't necessarily translate to Saratoga.
Right.
You know, the 2-year-old picture used to be dominated by our friend Pletcher, but he had
a bad 2-year-old meet last year. Some of the starters were having trouble getting out of the gate.
And Linda Rice has done somewhat well up there. Mm-hmm. Early in the meet, you can find a trainer that all of a sudden pops up and does extremely well early. So look for somebody who gets hot enough. And same thing with Delmar. I mean, in Delmar, Pete Miller always seems to do extremely well early in the meet. And, you know, much better than, you know, later in the meet. So, I mean, he's one to follow early on. And that course is also a very much of a horse for course type of place, and also you horses that are coming off a layoff running at Del Mar is not necessarily a negative, you know. The reason being that many owners want to win at Del Mar so that they shut things down at Santa Anita, and of course they don't run their horses over at Los Alamos. So you can keep that in mind. You know, an actual layoff is not necessarily a bad thing. A good thing there too is to look for a horse that actually has a work on the Del Mar course and has done very well, or, you know, looks like he's, whether it's a 2-year-old or anything, anything that looks decent running at Del Mar preparing and has a workout there is to be given an extra plus.
So those are some advanced preview of the two premier summer meets. Saratoga and Del Mar. We'll get in depth next week, looking at both meets, and hopefully get you some information to make your meets at least starting off pretty good for you.
Yeah, but the advice is to be cautious, keep your powder dry, and wait to see what you know. Don't blow the bankroll early in the meet. You know.
Right. Yeah. Because. That's no fun. Sounds like a couple of us have been in that boat before and made the mistake.
Well, we're not the only ones. I know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, some very good handicappers have struggled at both places. So,
right. So I guess we'll touch on a little bit on Hong Kong, which is one of your passions, because you've been involved in the scene and followed it for many, many years. And they're coming on close on the two meets. I think they have about 3 or 4 more cards, right?
Well, I think they only have two. They got this one coming up on Sunday and then the following Sunday.
Okay.
I don't think there's a Wednesday card.
So do any of the jockeys and trainers go elsewhere during the hiatus?
The trainers don't, because you can close the track and do everything, but the horses got to be fed and worked out, and you can't close a racetrack for a barn for vacation. Unfortunately, the horses don't go on vacation. These guys pretty much. The interesting thing about Hong Kong these days is that they opened up the training center in China. And apparently that's had a very positive effect on many horses up there. So I guess Sha Tin is, quote, in the new territories or out in the boonies for Hong Kong. It's like being downtown. Every place there is like being downtown in New York. It's not as relaxing as being out in Chunhua in China. The horses are apparently out in the countryside,
Now, of course, in Hong Kong, they race only 2 days a week, full fields, 12 to 14 horses per field. Do you think U.S. tracks should look more into a kind of a program like that, or do you think it's not possible because the tracks, there's so many of them?
Well, you got to look at Hong Kong as not as the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, they bet more than the United States, but in reality, when you look at it, Hong Kong is in space and everything else is smaller than New York City. So if you think of New York City with two tracks, right? I think the difference there is that handicapping Hong Kong is totally different than handicapping here. Here it's more class oriented, money claiming races. They don't have any claiming races in Hong Kong. It's an inside game,
Right.
However, they do have the fact that it's run every, when you look at a race, it's a class race. Every horse in that race belongs in that class, has mm-hmm. proven to belong in that class. They weight the horses. So the horse number one won't run necessarily in post one, but that horse is rated better than horse number two,
Right.
And better than horse number three. And the design is that they put weight on so that theoretically every horse hits the line at the same time. And many of their races are very good. You'll see four or five horses coming in, photo finishes and very close. So you do that in general in turf, but it's their rating system and the weight put on the horse that they kind of do the handicapping for you, as far as then you look at the form,
Right.
of the horse. So, it's somewhat different, a lot different than here. The interesting thing to me is they run for 10 months, right?
Right.
You say, they only run two times a week, and you're right. But they run for 10 months. A lot of the moment, if you look at the horses, running now, they run more times in that 10 months, an individual horse, than we do here.
Yeah, a lot of double-digit ledgers.
Right. And we have more races, more stock. They probably got, 1,200 head?
Right.
They probably, California, I think I heard today, they've got about 3,000 head in California, so it's a different – totally different business. And the interesting thing to me is that the thing that right now is disturbing about Hong Kong is that over the last 2 months or so, it's really come down to 50% of the races are won by two jockeys.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, so the Purton, Zach Purton, is, you know, the leading jockey out there, but he also has, because he's not assigned to a trainer, you look at his races, I mean, he's got the pick of it in each race. He's basically got the pick of the best horse, the one he thinks is the best horse. And they don't have agents really doing the handicapping for them, the jockeys.
Really? Okay.
So, okay. These guys are, they ride the works, you know, every day, and they know. I saw an article. John Moore is next year is going to be his last year. They're forcing retirement, and I guess 72 or 73, you're out. Right.
Right.
I've met John Moore. I spent some time with him. With a friend of mine, we were in the owner's box, etc. The one thing that impressed me about, I mean, he's a very personal guy and knows his horse racing, but every one of those trainers, and I mean every one of them, know every horse that's running. I mean, there's no surprises. They're not coming from anywhere but there, you know.
Right.
They know everything about every horse in the race. And so it's a really close society.
Yeah.
I mean,
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have a preference for either track to go in person?
In person?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Joe, I don't like going to any track now. I think personally, they've ruined. I mean, everything is these big boards. In most of these tracks, you can't even see the back stretch.
Right, right.
Because the board blocks the way, whether they got trees or whatever. And everybody's watching on their TV.
That's true. Saratoga's like that too.
Yeah, everyone. So you've been to Chatin, right?
No, I've only been to Happy Valley.
Oh, I thought we went to Chatin. Okay. But even Happy Valley. I mean, when you were there, you know, we sat up in the kind of reserve seats. You know, you brought your passport, you got in for $100, 100 Hong Kong, and you sat in a specific area, right?
Right. I think that was it, yeah.
But that area is no longer really really there anymore. Everything's a restaurant or, you know. Why go to the track when you can sit at home and do the same damn thing, you know?
Right.
And I'm in Vegas, so I can go to, race book anywhere in the town and see all the races, although Hong Kong's not here, so that's different. But what I'm saying is that most areas have really given you no incentive to go to the track. Mm-hmm. And it's not that people don't like going on the track. The problem is it's costly. You got to pay for parking. You got to pay to get in the place. You got to pay for your past performances and all this other stuff. So you drop maybe $40, $50 before you even get to the track.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, so what is the incentive? What? You know, I mean, yes, you can go to the paddock and you can pick up things, etc., that you can't pick up on TV.
Right.
But in reality, they made it so that it's more comfortable to be sitting in a at home or in a sports book or somewhere else watching on the TV the same way you can watch on TV, at the track. There's no. The only thing I think they should think about is, one, they shouldn't charge to get into the track. You know, they're going to make their money back on the people betting. Mm-hmm. If they didn't charge for entering the track, and let's say they cut off all betting 2 minutes before the horses left the gate, except at the track, then you might have some incentive to go to the track.
Right.
So you just think about it. If you're sitting at home and tomorrow you're going to play in Belmont, and you're watching it on TV, but you got to make a decision between 5 and 2 minutes to go, and you have to place your bet. But the guy at the track sees all the money coming in, and he's got a pretty good advantage to being there. You know?
Yeah, that late money's been a killer on some of the races. Yeah.
Anywhere. I mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're always right. No. But what it does mean is it gives an advantage. It would give you a reason to be at the track.
Right.
I mean, whether it's 2 minutes or 1 minute, whatever the factor is, it would be an advantage, particularly for big bettors to be at the track if they had an advantage like that. Then you'd have people coming into the track. Now there's no advantage.
So listen up, all the racetrack owners, Bill Kelly.
Yeah.
The blueprint, how to keep everybody happy in the industry going, the betting industry.
I don't know whether they'd be happy, but they're right. Yeah. So certainly the sports books in Las Vegas wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, that's right. You may be a marked man in your city.
That's right. I'm posting guards right now.
That's right. So speaking of, were you touched anything by that earthquake today?
Yeah, you know, believe it or not, we felt it here.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I mean,
yeah.
It was a very minor shake, but we did feel the earthquake.
Right.
Which is very unusual. I've been in earthquakes in California and certainly in Taiwan and places, but you're right. It was a pretty large earthquake, 6.4. So
yeah.
Apparently it didn't do any major damage or loss of life. So, which is interesting because, you know, there's a lot of travel on the roads right now. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's funny. I've never been on a, you know, driving when an earthquake hit. So I don't know how that factors in, but. I did feel it here in Vegas.
Well, that's good. The majority of people are safe, and we got contacts for our brother Sean out in LA area, and he's safe. So we want to thank my dad, Bill Kelly, co-host of Win at the Horses. I'm Joe Kelly, and this is, I guess, our initial podcast for the website as we went in depth to the Stars and Stripes weekend in Belmont. We also talked on Hong Kong and previewed Saratoga and Del Mar. It'll be up on the website for download and listening. And next week, we'll get into a full-length analysis of the meets, the summer meets, boutique meets, yeah. Saratoga and Del Mar. And
the spas. Thing,
yeah, that's right. The spas. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's coming fast. All the big horses and trainers are going to be at the respective meets. And
Of course. Yeah. It's a big meet. It's a big meet. Tough to handicap, but
right.
And hopefully the weather's good.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a big
thing. I might just put in we had a topic we didn't pick up was the whole problem that Santa Anita had.
Oh, yeah, we've got about a little less than 5 minutes left. We can.
Okay. Just going to say there's an excellent video on Pollock's report website, which he does an interview with two of the main vets in both California and then Bramage in, I think he's out of Kentucky. No, where's. But in any event, it's interesting. I mean, this whole talked about you know, Jerry Hornlevel, which is ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing in the world. Finally, somebody came out today, you know, some organization said, hey, you can't do this. You just can't, you know, throw somebody out with no due process, no, not even a reason why, you know?
Right.
There's going to be hell to pay about that. But these guys began to say that the biggest problem in California was, one, they tried to force these trainers to run horses to fill up the races. Two, there was a ton of rain, and the track there is not conducive to rain. It's not like any of the eastern tracks. When this whole thing happened and they had the cluster of deaths, they began they panicked. And they began to put it on the whips, on the Lasix and drugs, which are totally separate issues, have nothing to do with the catastrophes of these horses, you know. So, but I would recommend, if you get a chance, look at the video on Pollock's report on his website, and it's about 50 minutes, and it's well worth watching.
All right, that's Pollock, PAULICK report.com. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this subject on Santa Anita in the future. And thanks, Dad, for your take on it.
Yeah, well, the one last point is that in as bad as things are in 2019, it's actually better than it was back in, 2010 or 2016 or, you know, they're just reacting to to insult. Not that I'm saying it's not important to do it, but to look at these things, but and to challenge yourselves. But the PR work of these tracks is ridiculous. You know, they just made the thing worse.
So now you're on the Public Enemy number something on.
I can't go to California, and I certainly can't go to the book.
Yeah, that's right. You can't go to the books because you're proposing ways they can lose their patrons. So,
but I can have dinner with Hollendorfer.
That's right. You can spend as much quality time with Hollendorfer as you need to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a great time and talking with you, and looking forward to next week as well. winatthehorses.com. Thanks, Dad.
Okay, Joe. Great to talk. Look forward to